Hello and welcome to the How to Write an Effective CV podcast. This podcast comes in three parts. Part 1, Personal Details.
Hello, my name is Sabrina Wedderburn and I am a careers consultant with C2, which is part of the careers group, University of London. Welcome to this session, which aims to help you write an effective CV. This is the second in a series of three podcasts. If you're following the series, then the first podcast on selling your transferable skills will have been good groundwork for this CV session. The third podcast is called Preparing for Interviews and will advise on that particular next step in the recruitment process. This session is structured around seven steps to an effective CV. We will cover some guidelines on CV format, some tips for wording examples, and a checklist for you to appraise your work before submitting your CV to an employer. There are also some downloadable resources to accompany this session, which shall be referred to at key points throughout. Let's get started. So what is the purpose of a CV? A CV isn't a list of everything you have ever done. It is a marketing document, and its purpose is to effectively sell you and your skills to an employer. It should focus on the skills and experiences most relevant to your target employer. Your mission is to ensure that after a 20-second scan, the employer can pick out evidence that you have exactly the skills and experience they are looking for. You may need to write more than one CV if you're applying for different roles, but once you have the basics, this is easy enough to do. In the UK, there are no official rules for compiling a CV, but there are some conventions worth knowing about. What we'll do next is look at seven key steps that you can take to write an effective CV. However, before we proceed, this could be a good time to refer to the job advert and CV sample downloads, because we shall refer to them throughout the next few steps. Step 1 is to identify the skills and experience that the employer is looking for. They are the criteria against which your CV will be assessed and should be listed on the job description, website or job advert. If you cannot find them, ask the recruiter for clarification. It is vital that you are clear about the selection criteria if you are to successfully market yourself as a good match for the job. Step 2 is to think of examples or evidence from your work history, training, study, volunteering, interests, travel or home life that prove you have the job requirements. Try to choose examples that show you using the skills in a way which is similar to how they would be used in the role. You may find it useful to write this information into a table, making an easy reference document for the future, especially if you're applying for similar jobs. Try to identify two or three examples for each skill, or competency as they are sometimes known. Step 3 is to decide which sections you need in your CV, and then decide on section titles and the order. What follows are some general guidelines on format that will help you to structure your CV. It's essential that you include some personal details. After all, you want the employer to know how to contact you if they'd like to offer you the job. Your personal details should include your name, address, telephone number, and email address. Make sure you have a professional-sounding email address, such as your full name rather than a nickname. If necessary, set up a new account. You do not have to include a profile section in your CV. However, if you choose to, then this would come next. Profiles are a bit of a talking point. Some employers claim not to read them at all, feeling that they mostly say the same thing each time. Others like to see them, especially if the CV is submitted without a covering letter, because it helps to put the candidate into context. Bear these viewpoints in mind when thinking about whether to add a profile to your CV. Be sure of its purpose. What is it adding to your CV? Will you use it to provide a context for your application? Or will you use it to emphasise some of your most relevant information? The next sections are interchangeable: work history and education. If you have a lot of relevant industry experience, then you might choose to put this section first. This has the advantage of drawing attention to your work history as a key strength. Alternatively, you may feel that your education is more relevant to the skills required, and therefore place this next. Either way, you must include the right information in each section. With your work history, be sure to list your previous roles in reverse chronological order, which means your most recent job, followed by the one before that, and so on. For each post, Remember to integrate what you did with the skills that you gained or developed. Feature skills that are most relevant for the job that you are applying for. If your work history is varied, and you have some jobs which are very relevant to the post, and some which are perhaps not as relevant, then you can always separate them into two sections. Making this distinction means that the most relevant information is given focus and can be easily found when being scanned by an employer. Even if you do not have relevant work experience, include it in the CV, but explicitly highlight the transferable skills that match the ones from the job description. The other experience is still relevant because appropriate transferable skills have been highlighted. If you have a long work history, it's not necessary to include every single job you've had in your CV. Rather, include only those that will provide evidence for the skills and experience required for the post. To avoid gaps, you can provide a list in the same format, reverse chronological order, without expanding on the skills and experience that you gained. It would be purely for illustrative purposes and to show that you don't have any gaps. For all work history, be sure to add in tangible outcomes and testimonies wherever possible, as they can be very persuasive. Unpaid work can be just as valuable as paid. What matters to employers are the skills you are developing in the role. The education section is where you present your qualifications. Again, this should be offered in reverse chronological order, with the most recent activity first. Include university education, under and postgraduate, A-levels and GCSEs or equivalents. It is good practice to be as transparent as possible here. If your qualifications are not recognised in the UK, then find out its equivalent and include the information. If there are aspects of your qualifications or work history that are more relevant than others, then highlight this. And give enough information so that the employer can see clearly your level of ability, understanding and competency. This may mean including grades, overviews of research projects or specific modules. In both cases, it's important to achieve a balance with your information. Next, you can include a section for other skills. This can be things like IT or language skills. You only need to include this section if you haven't already mentioned these things elsewhere in the CV. For IT, clearly state programs or systems that you can use, and for languages, clarify your ability level. For example, are you conversational in Spanish? Can you use business German? Or are you a native speaker? Give some examples or evidence to back up your assertions. You don't have to include a section on your interests, but if you choose to, then this would come next. Again, use your interest as an opportunity to sell more of your relevant skills and experience to the employer. These can be illustrated by your leisure activities, club, society or professional memberships, and travel. Keep it brief though. Finally, references. Include full references if you want to, but if you're pushed for space or unable to disclose names, then you can state references available upon request. If you do give references, then they should always be someone who knows you in a professional capacity and that has worked with you within the last 6 months. Always ask referees before you list their details. If they agree, then you will need to present their name, professional relationship to you, i.e. line manager or supervisor, their address, and/or email and telephone number.